Brother Jimmy, I'm going to ask you to come up here. I want you to sit right here. We're going to pray for you tonight. I know you don't want me to, but we're going to. I was going to pray whether you're here or not, but we're going to gather around you and put our hands on you, and we're just going to lift you up to the Lord. And my brother is waiting on some tests that he's dealing with, but more than that, he just doesn't feel good. He's got pain in his hips and other places, and so what I want us to do is just let's, if y'all can, if you're able to, come up and gather around Jimmy. And as soon as you come up and you put your hands on him, start praying, even if it's in your own heart, just start lifting him up to the Lord. And after a moment, I'll voice our prayer for all of them. But y'all take some time and pray for Jimmy. You know, the Bible says that we ought to do this, and so we're going to. So Lord, we're grateful that you've given us the privilege of prayer. You say that if any are sick among you, let them go and call the elders of the church. And, Lord, so we're gathered around my brother, putting our hands on him, calling out his name to you. And Lord, we recognize that this doesn't catch you by surprise. You knew that he was going to be right here in need of prayer. And Lord, we are being faithful to call out his name to you. Lord, I pray you'd be with Jimmy. Give him grace. Lord, let him know your nearness. I pray that as he walks through these days of uncertainty and perhaps fear and for certain just not feeling good, Lord, I pray that you would comfort my brother, that you would guide him, that you would strengthen him, that he would know your constant presence with him all the days of his life. And then, Lord, I pray for the doctors that you'd give them wisdom as they read these different tests, as they come up with a course of action. Lord, I just pray that you would direct their minds and their practices and their decisions. And so, God, I pray that they would be tools of yours, tools in your hands that you would use to heal our brother. And then, Lord, I pray for his pain, and I ask that you would lift it. I pray that you would take it away from him. I pray that he wouldn't suffer. I pray that he wouldn't, that this hurt that he has would go away. I pray that you would take all of this, Lord, even tonight. I pray that you'd minister to him, and Lord, that you would remove the bad feeling that he has. And then, Lord, I pray just for his overall health, and I pray that you would allow that these cancer cells would be contained in a small spot, and that the doctors would be able to treat that, or that you just touch him and you treat it, and that you heal him completely. Because, Lord, whether you heal him by medicine or by miracle, we'll still give you glory. And so, Lord, we ask you to do these things. And, Father, I pray that after it's contained and after it's removed, that it would never show its face in his life again. And, Lord, that you would strengthen our brother. Lord, we love you. We thank you again for this privilege of prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name, to whom my brother belongs and to who we serve, whom we serve. We ask these things in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I feel better already.
Let me touch you since I could.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't expecting all that,
but I know it. I know it. Well, the Lord just prompted my heart to do it. Well, all right, today is Wednesday, October 9th, and we are picking back up with our 2020 vision. We had our conference last week. As others still find their seats and still get in their mood to talk about some things tonight, let's just talk about tomorrow. Our Young Hearts ministry is headed to the mountains. So what they do is they get on the bus, have lots and lots of fun until they eat at Bojangles, and then have lots and lots more fun until they go to the cheese shop, and then have lots and lots of more fun until they go to Shatley Springs, and then they roll themselves back to the bus, and they have lots and lots of fun until they get to the Apple store, and then they buy all of us who don't go apples, and then they make their way back, not ever remembering how to get back from the Apple store back to here. So this is what's happening tomorrow. The good news is, even if you have not signed up, there is space. If you are here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, you can get on this Lots and Lots of Fun tour, and you will be able to go and have a great time. I'll tell you this, if you go tomorrow, you'll want to go again. You'll be hooked. And so that's tomorrow at 8. Now, I will say this. Now, I know we've got Baptists in here, so I'm going to say this for your sake. If your name is not on the sign-up sheet, and you just heard me say you can come, and you come tomorrow 10 minutes late, they're not necessarily going to wait for you. You understand what I mean? Because they don't know you're coming. So either make up your mind tonight and let Phil know you're coming, and he'll wait for you, or be on time. And that's probably the preferable thing anyway. But anyway, that's tomorrow, and it is a lot of fun. You will have a good time. It's fun to be on the bus. It's fun to do all those stops that I talked about. One time we even stopped and saw the mosaics. Are they on the list for tomorrow? Okay, they're on the list for tomorrow. And so that's always. Are you not going to do that tomorrow? Okay, so you don't have time tomorrow. So no mosaics tomorrow. But all right, well, it's a lot of fun. Again, if you want to go, you say, well, how old do you have to be? Don't worry about that. Just go. You'll have fun. If you have time tomorrow, go. It'll be a good time. Well, all right. Brother Jack told me a joke today, and so I want to tell it to you just because it was good. I came out here with all my stuff. Brother Phil helped me put my whiteboard up, and I brought all my stuff out, and I brought my mat, which helps my feet, and I threw it down, and Brother Jack was about where he is right now, and he walked all the way over here, and I wondered, what's he got to tell me? And he says, well, I'm glad that you brought your starting point and your ending point. And so I just laughed, and I said, well, yeah, that's right. I do like to wander around. And if I were a Greek philosopher, I would be a peripatetic. And if there was two of us, we'd be a peripatetic peripatetics. But the peripatetics were those who talked about stuff and walked around. So it's good. And by the way, since I need to give credit to everything I used, I just stole that one from the philosopher Calvin and Hobbes. And so if you remember the cartoon, he's the one that coined peripatetic peripatetics. So I can't steal that one. Y'all say, oh, our pastor is so bright. No, I just had a misspent youth with Calvin and Hobbes. Tonight we're going to get back. In fact, my goal for tonight is to wrap up this second circle. We've been talking about three circles that talk about our kingdom focus. Why God has put us here to do what? Or how does He want us to glorify Him and make disciples? These three circles are going to draw us in, the overlap of them. The very first circle is the local predicament, this context that we're in. Concord, Cabarrus County, the economic situation, being a greater part of America, the transience of where we are. All of that's that first circle. This second circle is what we have, this collective potential. And so we begin to look, and in fact, we're going to summarize all of this at the end. What resources do we have? What passions do we have? And what gifts do we have? So the last 3 weeks, we talked about what gifts we have. By the way, if you have completed your gift survey, but I don't have the tally, you'll have an opportunity to give that to me tonight. If you haven't completed it, but you're still working on it, and you're not going to have the tally tonight, that's okay. Give it to me when you can. But we'll do the best with what we can right now. Does anybody know the story of Shamgar? Anybody know the story of Shamgar in the book of Judges? The Bible says Shamgar has one verse. He took a jawbone of a donkey, and he slayed 1,000 Philistines. And so there is there's a sermon that goes with that, and that sermon is he did what he could with what he had for the glory of God. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to do what we have with what we've got for the glory of God. So when we get ready to do our our part with the gift. If you have yours, we'll take some time. If you don't, that's fine. Or if you're going to get it to me later, I do want to collect those and keep a picture, at least in my mind, of what this looks like. So that's where we're going. That's what we've done. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. When we were at the picnic about a month and a half ago, when we were at the picnic, I read to you chapter 9. And I told you that Hebrews chapter 9 and 10 are my two favorite chapters altogether of the whole Bible. So just a passage, if you say, what's your favorite passage of the Bible? It's chapters 9 and 10 together. The book of Hebrews was written probably as a sermon. It was meant to be read from start to finish all at one time. So it's very tightly written. In fact, you almost have to read it all the way through in order to get the gist of the whole argument. It's that tightly written. It's my favorite book of the Bible, Hebrews. Hebrews 10 is 9 and 10 are my favorite chapters in the Bible. I just absolutely love them. Chapter 9 is the literary climax, if you will, of the book of Hebrews. It gets there and it says, Jesus is better because he's our high priest with a better covenant and a better sacrifice. And that better sacrifice is him. He has given himself. He entered into the holy place, not made with hands, to offer a sacrifice once and for all. And that's the picture, Jesus going into that place. And when the author, at the end of verse 18, of chapter 10, he finishes that powerful section, and he gives us a therefore. And that's where we are right now. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to finally end up in verse 24 and 25, but I'm going to start reading in 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, that's what Jesus did for us. We have confidence now to come into the presence of God. Paul wrote it this way in Romans 5, because we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's the same concept. We have access to God. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Just for a moment, I want us to consider this concept before we go further and look at who we are. This concept is, this is because of who Jesus is and what he's done, we have access to God, our bodies and our consciences have been made pure, and then it says, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. This idea of consider means, let's not just talk about it, let's figure it out and do it. So the call for those of us who belong to Jesus is as we assemble together, like tonight, or like we do on Sunday mornings, when we assemble together, let's consider, let's make it our priority, let's figure out how to stir one another up to love and good works. Let's spend our process, our thought process, our heart process, everything we do, let's figure out how to love one another, stir one another, not just love one another, but stir one another up to love. And to good works. These gifts that we've been talking about are the ways that we fit together. We have different functions, we have different motivations, and as we come together to stir one another up to love and good works, we do it through exercising what God has given us unto one another. Now, what I've just told you is absolutely the Bible truth. And yet, many, many, many churches don't ever come together thinking, how can I stir my brothers and my sisters up to love and good works. How am I going to do that? So one of the tasks, exercises I'm going to give you is as you go through this remainder of this week and as you come to this church and do things here with our people, not to the building, but to our church, to us as we assemble together, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. That is, that the priority must be we stir one another up as we come together, as we spend time together. That's why we go to Shatley Springs tomorrow, because it's part of spending time together. It's not just to see the leaves. You're probably not going to see anything but brown this year. I don't know. Maybe you'll see pretty, but that's not the point ultimately. The point ultimately is for a group of God's people to spend time together and enjoy one another, to stir one another up to love and good works. Encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. So as the days get closer, here's a good way to remember it. When you're looking at your television set and it's the 11 o'clock news and you say, oh, man, can things get any worse? Then what I want you to think is, that means the day is drawing near. And if the day is drawing near, then we need to be encouraging one another. We need to be spending time together. In fact, what we ought to be doing is spending more time with each other, not less. We ought to be encouraging one another more, not less. We ought to be stirring one another up to love and good works more, not less, as the day draws near. So, all of that, this is the background to what we're going to talk about tonight. And that is, we're going to wrap up this second circle that talks about our kingdom concept. So here's the three circles. In this case, it's just a picture. You know, it's not this. There's nothing fancy about this. On the top left, what you have is a circle, the red, that represents the context that we're in, Cabarrus County, Concord. Top right is this circle that we're talking about, our collective potential, and that is who God has made us to be, what He's given us, how we do what we're supposed to do. And then that bottom circle is going to represent what the author of the book that I'm reading is called Leadership Esprit, Esprit, R-I-T. And so that's the French word, just means the passion, the ethos, the esprit of the leadership. And we'll talk about that next week as the Lord allows. So that's where we are today. What do you think? Well, I'm just going to show it to you now. I've messed it up. Here is our array of gifts. Now, this doesn't surprise me in the one fact that I knew kind of what I was looking at before we started. Before I go any further, does anybody have any additions? Does anybody have yours that I need to add here? I want everybody that's here to be counted. Michael? All right, your number one was administration? Yep. Anybody else? If I had more time, my plan was to do this in order to count, because this is kind of stilted in this one way. It doesn't count people who have a very close second somewhere else. This is just the first. And so what you're seeing is the array of our first place gifts. What I was going to do, and I just don't have time to do it, I was going to multiply your first choice by three, and then your second choice, leave it equal to be one, and that would weight it enough to where you see the first choice, but it also counts our second choices, not choices, but gifts, and you'd be able to somewhat measure it out. Anybody else? Everybody else is either up here or hasn't completed it. If you need one of these, come see me, and I'll make sure that you can get it, okay? I'll make sure that you get a hold of one. And if not, you can get it online, and it'll even score it for you, which is really preferable because sometimes it's hard to, you know, you don't line the sheets up right or whatever, and then you're kind of off kilter. But, all right, so this is our array. What I'm showing you now on this summary is what you see here. Our least dominant gift is prophecy. It's the one that only one is our prophet here. Was it Dan? Dan. It was Dan's first. Yeah, it's high on mine, but it's not my first. And so so prophecy, that's our least dominant gift. Now a prophet's gift is to discern, rebuke, and correct. It's an engagement with sin, and it really comes into discernment. And so what you see is that that is the lowest. We don't have, now I'll just tell you, if we had 10 prophets, it'd be annoying. But but if God saw fit to give us those, we'd have to take them. But prophets, the best example of what a prophet looks like in all their beauty and all their ugliness is the Apostle Peter. So if you want to get a picture of what a prophet looks like, Peter's probably a good one to look at. You can see Jeremiah as a good standard of a prophet. But anyway, that's our least dominant. The other lesser finds are what we would call some of the speaking gifts: teaching, exhorting, evangelism. Now, again, these may be your second, your third gifts here, but as far as first gifts, they're all single-digit gifts: one, two threes, and a five, two. Teaching, exhorting, evangelism, right there in this group. So, teaching, their goal is to study, systematize, and instruct the Scriptures. Exhorting, encouraging, mentoring, shaping. Evangelism, connecting, seeking, sharing. Those are the gifts that are our lesser gifts. I used this idea earlier, but I'll use it again just so you can kind of understand what this means for us. What this means for us is that at least right now, the way that we are put together, we are not going to start a Bible university or a seminary because we just don't have a lot of teachers in. So it wouldn't even, not only would we look at this and say, well, we're not going to do that, it wouldn't even be your passion because it's not what drives you. That's not, now there are a few, I see my teachers looking at me like, it drives me, and I'm sorry, you're here for something other than a seminary. And so this is kind of the idea of the way this works. If these are your motivations, so if you've heard the saying, if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything in the world looks like a nail. Well, that's the way it is with our spiritual gifts. In lots of ways, every situation, every issue, every challenge that we come against, we are bringing this supernatural gift that God has gifted us, we're bringing it to bear on that situation. That's why it takes all of us. That's why it takes all of us to do, so that nothing is lacking in the body, so that we together figure out how to approach these gifts. Now, these gifts are not necessarily our most dominant, but I want you to understand that of those gifts, all four of them rate really, really high in my life. Part of it is the way that God puts pastors together and those kinds of things. Talking with Dan shares several of these gifts as well. You say, what's that mean? It means that God brought me here to fill up some things that he needed filled up here. And he will continue to do that, not just with a pastor, but also with new members as they come in. I imagine if we did all of this again in 5 years, we would see a different array of gifts as he brings in and brings folks to build up. Does that make sense? All right, you see the least dominant of our gifts are right here. So that means let's look at our most dominant or most predominant gifts. Shepherding is our number one. Shepherding. The idea of leading, training, feeding, getting together, pulling people in, checking on them, making sure that they're where they're supposed to be, making sure nobody's lost in the shuffle. And so that is our most. If you are one of the 12 whose first place was shepherding, raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five. There they are. All right, and obviously we have seven more somewhere. And so they got lost. Nobody's keeping up with them. But this idea of shepherding is the person who brings folks together. Their place of ministry is anywhere, any organization, any team within the church that just cares about people. They just could be a Sunday school class where they collect, bring people in, or other kinds of ministries, bereavement ministry where you're just making sure that people are cared for and loved on, those kinds of things. And so that's our highest in shepherding. Our close second it just got bypassed. I had two people add administration today, and so these slides are already wrong. But let me just go by my slide and I'll correct it as we go. I put our close second was serving, which is hands-on, meeting needs, real-life stuff. So if you would rather chop wood than figure out a flow chart for our staff, then you're a servant. If you'd rather clean in the kitchen or cook or pick up chairs or dust tables, those kind of, that's the way that you like to serve. Is through these acts of service, through the actual nitty-gritty of doing stuff. If every issue in church you think somebody just needs to have a pie, then you're probably a servant. It's just whatever it is, they need a pie, and so that's acts of service, and so that's either acts of service or good Southern upbringing. I don't know which, but that's our close second, serving. Our honorable mentions, which at one point was a tie, and now they've kind of gone out of whack because of some of the additions that I've done. Administration, we have lots of administrators, organizers, starters, planners. They're people that can go in and organize something, put it right, set it in line, those kinds of things. And mercy showing, identify with, empathize, comfort, care for, the real feeling ministries. And so this is our strength. So in just a moment, we haven't gotten there yet, but when we start talking about our strengths, these are going to be our strengths, which means that at least for now, the probability of the way that God wants us to make disciples and to glorify Him is through these. Now, we still have others that are participating and guiding, and everybody else is important. I don't mean that. But if the weight or the momentum or the mass of our giftedness are in this kind of, look at the way they go together. Shepherding, keeping people close, serving, actually working, administering, making sure those who are working are doing it the right way, and then mercy giving, loving those. All of a sudden, what you start to see is our church being an active church, not necessarily a teaching church, although we do teach. I don't mean to take away from it, but I mean our strength is what we can do for people and the way that we can care for them in time. Now, this should not come as a surprise to you, because even 20 years ago, when that survey was done, the people said the main reason that people came to this church was because they felt like they were cared for when they came here. They were loved when they came here. Today, when people come in as guests, almost every one of them say, "Wow, your people really are loving." Well, that's not just because you're good people. It's because that's the way that you've been gifted to show that love in the way that you minister. Now, I don't mean to take away from any of you who these aren't your major ones. I'll just tell you, these aren't my major ones, which is interesting. These are not my highest gifts. You say shepherding's not your highest gift? No, shepherding is learned for me. It was learned. I was taught how to do this, both in the army and then with a good mentor. I was taught how to do what I do. It's not my spiritual giftedness. So I do what I do out of habit and practice and discipline and those kinds of things, but it's not what drives me. So shepherding is not my major gift, nor is serving or administration or mercy showing. Those things for me are all learned, but for some of you, in fact, for the majority of you, it's the way that the Spirit has gifted you and put you together so that you can do the work that He calls you to do. Which means that this is probably where we're going to find our greatest sense of who we are. Now, I want to tell you, I told Phil I wasn't going to say this, but I decided I'm going to. Here's my supposition. I may not be right. This is just what I think. When churches go through stressful times, when they go through difficult times, and there's a lack of inertia or a lack of movement, there's a struggle, and it's difficult, then what's going to happen are those who are teachers and evangelists and prophets are going to possibly say this: I just can't function there. I can't do what I'm supposed to do. Everybody's doing all this other stuff. I'm going to go somewhere else. And they go. Prophets are the quickest to say something, and they're also the quickest to shut their mouths, sorry. They're the quickest to speak, and then they're the quickest to go, this is worthless, I'm out of here. I'm gone. Just go read the prophets. Look at Elijah. When Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel and just, man, this is what it is. And then he goes and hides and says, she's going to kill me, I'm done. All right, so it's possible. And then think about those difficult situations. Who's going to rise to the top? Those who gather people together, the shepherds, come, oh, yo, it's okay, come on. We'll do this. The servants, I've got work to do, I can do this. Let me just get after it. And the mercy givers, there, it's okay. We're going to be okay. God's going to do this. And so it's possible, not probable, I'm just thinking through what God's doing in our church. It's probable that the predominant gifts like these are here because you're the ones that stayed. It's the movement to say, let's come together and hold together. The organizers, they're like, hey, we got to get this thing organized. I got a challenge. I got something to do. And so they're jumping right in. You see how this might work? I'm not saying it does. I don't know that. However it worked, we know that God's in charge of it. That's what we know. God has put us together the way we are. But as I think through it, I just think it's possible that is the remnant. When you talk about, use those kinds of languages, those are the folks who knuckle down, dig in, you know, hunch over and hold the line or whatever it is. We're staying right here. It's those kinds of folks, those who really are gifted in that way. So that's the spiritual gift summary. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that that's like God didn't wake me up and last, I'm a prophet, but not that kind of prophet. You know, He didn't wake me up and tell me that. I just as I look at Scripture and look at the array as it came out and then look at what we do. Now let me give you one more for instance and then we'll move on. Here's the one more for instance. If you look at the way that we do outreach right now, it goes along with these as being our predominant gifts. And what I mean by that is we are very much geared towards service-oriented outreach. We are doing things, whether it's our football meals on Friday, whether it's something like Man Church, or whether it's one of our ladies' ministries that's it's a get-together and Everybody come together and let's serve one another. When we go out of here and do things, we're going to places like the Baptist Sharing House, and we're going doing through our missions organizations, we're going places. We're going to the St. Andrew's Senior Center to, you know, serve ice cream and love on those ladies who are, and gentlemen, I guess, that are there. All of that, all of those things are where we are at our best. That's the way we put it on when we, you know, what can we do? Hey, I got an idea. Let's all cancel our own Thanksgiving and come here and feed other people. You see what I mean? That's kind of the way God has put us together. And so you start seeing those things. So when we ask the question down the road, how is it that God has geared us to make disciples and to glorify Him? It's very possible that the center mass of that statement is going to be through some of these serving opportunities, some of these ways. We reach out through acts of service. It would be something like, we make disciples by serving other people. We glorify God by meeting needs in the community. And that's good, because if you remember, all the way back at the beginning, we saw there are definitely needs to be met here. There are people who are here who are in need. And God's put us here probably for such a time as this. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead. I just want you to start seeing why we've done what we've done over these last 5 or 6 weeks, and how it starts to show us maybe what we should be doing and how the best way to use what God has given us to reach the world. There are a lot of things we could do. We could do a lot of things. But we need to find out what we are gifted to do, what we ought to be doing. And that's where we'll go. So anyway, long story short, I'm excited about some of the things that I've seen from your spiritual giftedness. So I'm going to ask you some questions. Okay, so that means this is feedback time. You all sat here and nodded politely and raised your hand when I said so and laughed twice. So I am glad for that, but now I need your input. Does this assessment of our church seem accurate? I'm not asking, before I open my eyes, I'm not asking you so you make me feel smart. All right, this is an important question. I need to know, does this assessment seem accurate? The reason why I have to ask this is because we are going to, everything's building on these things. And if we go with a bad assessment, everything else will be built on, you know, on sand. So we need to make sure we have a good assessment. Does this assessment seem accurate to you? Why or why not? Yes? Why? Why do you say yes, Michael? Somebody else? Thank you, Michael. For the record, he said yes. Yes, ma'am, Ms. Claudette. Yeah, that's good. And what was your primary? Are you a shepherd? Yeah, that's what I thought. And that's a spiritual gift for you, shepherding. Yeah, yeah. And by the way, the reason why I ask him that, I would never ask any of you those things. But as God forms the heart of pastors, He sometimes trains us to do things that aren't our bent, that we do things that wouldn't come naturally to us or wouldn't even come supernaturally to us. You just have to do it because that's the way you have to do it. And that's why I ask you that. Are you sure? I just meant I just wanted to clarify that was a spiritual gift and not something that you learned along the way. That's good, Ms. Claudette. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? Jimmy?
Like I was home.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people that are here now, they see it as their home, and that's what they want to do, is help and make it their home for others.
Right. Right. And what I want you to, that's a good point. What Jimmy said was that it's his home. He feels at home here, and he wants to serve his home. I want you to see both of those things go together, and it's like the chicken and the egg, which one really came first. It's very possible that it feels like home because this is God's place for you. So you see what I'm saying? So it's not just that we're a bunch of good people or a bunch of cool people or a bunch of nice people or anything like that. It's possible that what you feel is God's hand putting you exactly where you're supposed to be. And so it feels like home because he, not that God needed anything, but God knew that this church needed a servant like you to come in and do those things. At the same time, at the exact same time, like which is first, who knows? At the exact same time, those other things are true. It feels like home, so you serve it. It feels like home, so you take care of it. It feels like home, so you don't leave it. And so all of those things are absolutely true. There are lots and lots and lots of things in Scripture that are held in tension, and that's one of them. God is at work at the same time that you're at work. God is doing things, but often the times God does things through His people. And so we shouldn't just sit around and wait for God to work, because sometimes what He wants is He wants to work through us doing what He's gifted us and called us to do. And so it's a together and. We're never doing this by ourselves, but God is using us, equipping us, shaping us to do those things. Anybody else? I appreciate those comments. So this seems like us. I mean, I'll just say this. If this isn't us, it's been hidden from me who we are, because this looks like us to me. I've never seen us more Christ-like than when we serve somebody else. That's what it looks like. That's what we look like. When we look most like Christ, it's when we're serving, whether it's a football meal or whether it's on Wednesday night going through our kitchen or whether it's Thanksgiving or whether it's even serving people on Sunday mornings in worship. We are most like Christ when we are serving. And that's because that's the way we've been gifted, most of us. That's who we are. Now, there are a few of us who aren't gifted in that way, but God has put us here to, like, seasoning for all of the other gifts, all of the other things that He calls us to do. Does that make sense? All right, second question. Who then are we shaping up to be? If these are true, if this assessment is true, who are we? What's God want from us? That's really the whole purpose of everything we're doing. If this is who we are, what's God want from us?
I think He wants us to get outside the church walls. Outward. And that's one reason we're not part of the group that went through. We're a brand new member.
Right, that's right.
There's four of us sitting here that have been here maybe 2.5 years.
Right.
But we came here because we believe this church has the opportunity
to
go outside there.
Yeah, right.
Because people aren't going to come to church like they used to.
That's right. That's right.
It's unbelievable with seniors and all of this, and that's why we're here, because we believe this church is on the breaking ground of going outside there.
Yeah, that's right. Let me tell you, I'm going to counter one thing you said, and then I'm going to agree with it after I counter it. She said something that's very true. We are past the days of people coming here. Let me see how I want to say this with the most dramatic effect. So we are having regular amounts of visitors every week in our church, but predominantly those visitors are saved church people who are just looking for a home. They're just looking for another place, which, by the way, we need those folks. Whoever God brings us, we need them. In fact, that's a baseline statement for me. If they don't come, we didn't need them. If they do come, we do need them. Now, you may say, well, you need to go after those folks. Well, look, if God doesn't want them here, I don't want them here. I'm not being mean. I'll go play golf with them on the weekends, but they'll just mess things up. And I'll mess them up If this isn't where God wants them, they don't need to be here. So that's the first thing. The second thing, the way I'm going to counter it is, we do have 400, 500 visitors who are, most of them lost, who do come onto this campus every single year. But they come through the football meal or through the Thanksgiving meal, and they come in not because we're a great church, not because you have a sparkling pastor who is just incredibly brilliant. It's they don't come for that. You know what they come for? Because the chicken tastes good. That's why they come. And because the servants who stand in that line smile at them and say, "We're so glad you're here. Is there anything you need? Can I carry that for you? Do you need salt and pepper? Don't forget your drink or your green beans," like the football players like to forget. "Don't forget your green beans. Come out here." And then the folks who sit by them and walk with them and pour water into their cup. And because even a cold glass of water given in Jesus' name is a wonderful gift. And so all of these things are happening. They're coming here and being ministered to, and even, yes, hearing the gospel, because that's, I stand up and share the gospel, or Aaron stands up and shares the gospel, or anybody else that's in the, I mean, it's not just us, but we share the gospel, but they're not here because they knew that I was going to share the gospel. They're here because we served them. And so what I want you to understand is that God may be using us. He already is, I know, but he may be gearing us to use that as the platform to make disciples and to glorify God, not just in here, which I just demonstrated, but as Miss Patty said, also out there as we go and as we serve. There's lots of ways to do that. We don't have time now to talk about them, but this may be. When we ask the question, how does First Baptist Church make disciples and glorify God? The answer may be, in some way, we serve Concord this way. This is what we do. This is who we are. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
When we've got serving, we've got one prophet, we've got, you know.
Yeah. Well, because all of those gifts are given to us to do what God wants us to do, and we know that He wants us to make disciples. We know He wants us to be among the lost. So we have to be creative. The comfort zone is not outside our giftedness. The comfort zone is outside our walls, our safe spaces, our nearsightedness. So I'm not suggesting that we don't go out. What I'm suggesting is that we find out how to use who we are to go out. So for instance, there are certain things because of our giftedness that we just wouldn't try to do. We are not going to rent Bank America Stadium so I can preach there. For one thing, we don't have the resources to do it. For another thing, nobody wants to come hear me preach for like that. And so we wouldn't do it that way. But we might go and go to the Cabarrus Arena during fair week and pick up trash and talk to people that are there, or have a snow cone stand and talk to people there, or what. I mean, so we may use this kind of service out in the highways and the byways to share the gospel. So I'm not suggesting that we hide. What I'm suggesting is we use how God has made us to engage, to go out. And that's really where we're headed. All of this is to push us beyond our comfort zone. It's not, but we have to do it right. We can't just go willy-nilly and do whatever we want to do. We got to kind of do it the way God has equipped us to do. So that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. Yeah, work smarter, not harder. Yeah, that's right. That goes. The corollary to that is my favorite from the Army. You can work me long, but you can't work me hard. All right. So does this explain our desires, strengths, and weaknesses? I believe it does, But we're going to talk about that in just a second. This is how we're going to end up. This is how we're going to end up tonight. This is just to show you that circle. You can't read it real well, but all I've done is I've taken some of our key things from our local predicament. It's a transitional community from the mills 50 years ago to a bedroom community for Charlotte now. You see that transition taking place. It's transitional from locals to newcomers. They have just broken ground in my neighborhood. Since we've started this discussion, and I showed my neighborhood's sign up there 6 weeks ago, in that amount of time, they have broken ground on the newest phase where 45 new houses are going in my neighborhood alone. It won't be too long, 5-10 years, before there'll be solid homes from Harrisburg to Mount Pleasant down 49. I mean, it's just, there's a new sign up next to the arena that says there's a strip mall with a hotel coming in there. There's another sign on the other side of that that says there's a bowling alley with a fun park or something going in there. So what you're going to see is this growth of bedroom community is going to keep moving. We're in the middle of a bunch of schools. In fact, today our missions committee went out to look about getting those coats for the kids that I told you about last week or 2 weeks ago. And so we're already engaged in schools as we minister there. That's another way. You go and serve a school, but you're actually getting out among them and doing those kinds of things. So it's just a vehicle to get out there. And then on the other side, I put resources. And that's what I want to talk about now. Let me just do this. We're going to finish up here. But I'm going to pick your brain and see how much you remember or how much you can make up on the spot, either one. And so what are our resources? What do we have that God has given to us that will allow us to do what He's called us to do? What do we have? All right, so I heard Kathy say, we have, I'm going to put campus instead of the building because it's really all of this. All of this. All right, we have our campus building. And by the way, I think that's going to be key, one of our key resources. In fact, this room, I think, is going to be one of our key resources because of what we're seeing come out of this and those kind of things, which means, let me just show you why I say that. If it ends up being that this becomes the centerpiece of the way that we serve Concord, then when it comes time for the Finance Committee and the Property and Space Committee to figure out what priority are we going to upgrade and update and remodel or whatever our building, then this room becomes priority if this room is the center of how we're reaching Concord. Does that make sense? Even though we love our sanctuary, even though we meet in our sanctuary once a week, if this is the epicenter of our mission, then, you know, we may need to, the commercial kitchen may need to be all Viking stuff or whatever. I don't know. I don't know anything about kitchen. But, you know, you'd like that, wouldn't you? All Viking stuff? Yeah. So I'm just throwing that stuff out here. This is where it goes. Once we figure out how God is using us, put us together to do this stuff, then we can start making some real decisions on what to do and how to leverage this to reach Concord, Cabarrus County, and the world. So, campus. What are our other resources? All right, we do have people, and it seems like God is bringing us more almost regularly. All right, what else? That's it, money. Now, I would say we're from the South, most of us. We have learned the successful art of poor mouthing. Okay, so we've learned how to. No. But I would suggest to you that if you lined up all of the, and this is not, please understand, I'm not bragging. We just have to understand. All right, there's a difference between bragging and understanding. This is wisdom. If you lined up all the churches with money as a resource from front to back, ours would be on the front side, not on the back side, if that makes sense. We have the potential, the capacity to use money as resources. We gave $100,000 to Mission First Offering. You paid. I didn't really. I just came in the back end and celebrated. but you paid for new windows. You paid for a new HVAC when the need came. So we've got money as a resource, maybe not ever as much as we want, but God has given us a certain level of money as a resource. And so we'd be foolish to poor mouth God, right? So I'm not bragging, but we just have to account what we have. I mean, it's just like us standing around. If there's 5,000 people out there who need to be fed, and Jesus said, "Hey, y'all have got enough," and they're like pulling their pockets out, and "We don't have enough, Jesus." And the little boy says, "I have enough." You know, that's this picture. And so we have enough. So anyway, that's it. What are the resources? Any others? That's right. I'm going to put underneath that connections too, because we can, I agree with that, and I put it up there, professionals kind of, all these different places, but we also have connections. We can do stuff here. We can get into schools. I mean, we're buying coats for schools because one of our teachers is here, it works there, and I mean, or did, and has that connection. So we have those kinds of connections, certainly. That's good, Kathy. Certainly those connections. All right, so what are our passions? Now, only you can answer this for you, but perhaps together we can answer for us. What drives us? Like, what makes us super happy? Where are we most fulfilled? Those are all the same kind of question, just hitting around it. What are our passions? Yes, ma'am. All right. So the gospel, yeah, the gospel and lost people, absolutely. All right. Meeting needs, that's right, meeting needs. In fact, what I've seen our church in the short time I've been here, what I've seen our church do is if there's something that's going on in the community, whether it's in the church community or in our general community, and they don't need us there, we won't show up. We won't go because they don't need us. But you let somebody say, "Hey, we need you there," and all of a sudden our church is out in force doing a lot of that has to do with the way that we're wired, who we are, and those kinds of things. But absolutely, we like to meet needs. That really trips our trigger, floats our boat. Yeah. I don't know that story, but yes. Is she can? Okay, I don't know who they are. I'll check on that. That's good. That's good. But I mean, you know, if we need to do something, let's do it. Okay. Well, just air an opportunity and. There goes the air, so let's just do it. You know, that's easy. We just need to figure out how, and those. So one of you administrators, get on that and figure it out for us. Let's do this thing. And I agree. I agree that those are the kinds of things that we can do, that the ways that we can make a difference here in our community, in our world, in where we live. That's good. Anything else? Passions, things that drive us. Yes, ma'am. ABC Preschool? Yeah. ABC Preschool, a passion. And if it's not, it should be. It should be. It's here. And we are giving resources of all kinds. In fact, almost all of those resources that we've mentioned are committed. And so that's good. All right, and then just for the sake of time, I'm going to write up here under gifts that we just have serving gifts, administrative gifts, mercy gifts, and that kind of covers us. So what you're going to see is as these begin to overlap, you're going to see how God is funneling us or directing us or molding us to do some things that perhaps other churches aren't able or willing or passionate about doing. Does that make sense? All right, so that's where we're going. Next week, we're going to look at some leadership stuff. It'll be more along the lines of a sermon like you're normally used to hearing from me. I'll do that next week, and then we'll see where we go from there. That is, Lord willing, I'm here and all of that kind of stuff. So, but we'll be, not to put any doubt in your minds, but the book of James says, don't say you're going to get up tomorrow and go make a fortune somewhere else. So that's the only thing I mean by it. As the Lord allows, I'll be here next week and we'll do all this together. Thank you so much for being here. Any questions? Choir, you can go. I'm sorry I kept you so long. No, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry that it's time. That's what I'm sorry about. But I hope y'all enjoyed this. This is what I'm starting to see is some form come to some of these things we've been talking about for so long. All right. Well, let us let's pray. And then, Miss Billy, I'd like to talk to you before you run off. I want to follow up with that. And you're going to miss me Sunday. Yes, sir. I'm not going to be here Sunday. My grandmother is turning 100 next Tuesday. I know, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And so Myra and I are going to meet our kids and my family and cousins that I haven't seen in 20 years. We're going to all meet over in Middle Tennessee Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But be here. Be here Sunday. We have a normal worship service and everything. I mean, y'all come on. Brother Robert Leonard is going to be here preaching. And so he's a good friend of mine, and I know he's preached for us before, a longtime pastor in the area, just a good guy. And so I'm excited that he's going to be here. I only regret that I'm not going to be here to sit there and hear him. But that'll be this weekend. So y'all come out and support him and worship. And so I'll see you next week. So thank you, Brother Phil, for saying that. Let's pray and then y'all can go. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the gifts that you've extended to us through your Spirit. Lord, I pray we'd be good stewards of those gifts. We'd do what you call us to do, equipped us to do, shaped us to do. And Lord, I pray we'd do it well. And so, Lord, we ask that you would show us all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.